never thought I'd feel this way.
What's up, Wisconsin? Welcome back. I'm Maggie Dawn. You can count on me. We'll be here trying to get it right for y'all and have a conversation. It is an open conversation Wednesday on this July 4th Eve, and I'm really excited and humbled as ever to be joined by my next special guest candidate for Wisconsin's 8th Congressional District, Dr. Kristen Lierley. Welcome back, Kristen. It's lovely to have you.
Thanks, Maggie. It's great to be here. And can I just say, nailed it on the music. That was perfect.
I would love to take some credit for that, but that is all Mr. Brian Kelly, and he is terrific. How are you feeling, Kristen? It's been a really, really rough 5 business days.
It has been, yeah, it's been so unsettling. And as I've been talking with people all across the district, from Shawano to Sister Bay, people are feeling uncomfortable. They're wondering what the future of our democracy holds. They're looking at these two fellows who are options for president, and they're thinking, is this really the best we've got? I mean, really, there just couldn't be more at stake. And man, it is uncomfortable. But the one thing that is keeping us all going is the potential to do something about it. And we all have a part to play here, no matter how small it matters.
Yes, every vote, especially in this state, is going to matter a lot this November. Mm-hmm. Yours is one of the congressional races, you know, the entire House, everybody is up for election. Your race deeply matters in terms of Democrats trying to take the majority in the House. And I have to say, both your candidacy and Peter Barker's candidacy are places of incredible hope for me. You are a reasonable person. You're a professional. You know what you're talking about. You understand the importance of the freedom to choose healthcare, the importance of having women on equal legal footing with men in this country. Peter Barker is a reasonable guy. Do you give folks some hope? What are you feeling like in the 8th CD? Do you feel like there's momentum? You feel like we can get this one done, Dr. Lierley?
I'm loaded with hope, Maggie. And it's because I'm here talking to people on the ground, but I'm also talking with people across the country. And what we're finding is in this region in particular, in Northeast Wisconsin, the people up here are famously independent. They're not blue. They're not red. They are green and gold. They care about community. They care about each other. They're tired of politics. And we're getting more politics as usual and less problem solving than ever before in my lifetime. People are sick of it. But that's the beauty of it, because we can change that. And as I'm hearing people's stories, talking about, you know, the things that they care about, how can they afford to put gas in their car and groceries on their table? How can they find affordable health care? All of the things that you need in order to be able to live a healthy, sustainable life. These are all things that we can do as elected officials. So now all we have to do is elect the right officials. And hi, here I am. So let's do this.
I love that, Kristen. I wish I lived in the 8th CD so I could vote for you myself. It is so nice to see a professional woman who has had a career outside of politics enter into the political forum. I, for one, just want to say thank you for doing that, for frankly smartening up the debate, smartening up the politics so that it's not politics as usual. What we do know is that Wisconsinites in particular, very purple or green and gold. I don't mean to make an analogy to the dreaded Minnesota Vikings. But what I mean to say by all of that is Wisconsinites again and again and again keep saying they want people, they want their elected officials to compromise, to reach across the aisle and get stuff done. Mm-hmm. And that the partisanship, the weird sort of extremes from either party aren't really what Wisconsinites want. You've mentioned you've been talking to a lot of people in your district. What's top of mind that you're hearing from voters in the 8th CD?
It's very interesting, because the things that people will offer up freely are just the things I mentioned earlier. Everything is so expensive right now. excuse me. And it's just really hard to live. I talked to my oldest son, who's a public school teacher, and he is having a hard time living in an apartment that he splits with his girlfriend. I asked him, are you ready to start picking up your own car insurance? And he said, Mom, can you help me out a little bit longer? You know, we're trying to take the training wheels off, but it's just hard. And this is not a kid who is a crazy spender. But there are so many things you have to have in the world right now. It is just hard. And then you add a child on top of that or some other unexpected expense. Say you can't afford health insurance. There are a lot of people out there right now who can't afford health insurance, or their health insurance doesn't cover the treatment or the medication that they need. So that's an additional out-of-pocket expense. Where does that money come from? Well, it means that you can't afford your groceries, or you can't afford to take that vacation or the other thing that lifts your soul and allows you to be with other people. It's all connected. And, you know, Maggie, people have said to me, what do you know about politics? You're a doctor. But what I know is that all of these things that politicians can pull the levers on are things that affect our health. If you don't have clean water, if you don't have affordable housing in a neighborhood where you can get out and talk to your neighbors and go for a walk and be healthy, if you don't have the money to buy healthy food, all of these things affect your life, your quality of life, your mental health, your health in general. So there are plenty of places where a doctor can be incredibly helpful as an elected official, in addition to all the other spots that are fascinating and fun to be involved with.
Couldn't agree with you more. And I'll just say this in response to someone saying to you, what do you know about politics? You're a doctor. I'm just going to hazard this guess that no one would say that if they were talking to a man, and how offensive that is. Every day on the show, Kristen, there's somebody on the Facebook stream or Instagram or someone that calls me a foolish little girl, or somehow attacks my credibility or my right to say what I think. And I always find that really interesting, because I know a bunch of the male hosts on our network, and I'm telling you, they don't get that same kind of crap from people. Pardon my language, everybody. Mm-hmm. What are your plans for this July 4th weekend? How are you celebrating with your family?
You know, before I tell you about my plans, can I tell you that I filled out my absentee ballot this morning and there were 4 people I got to vote for, me twice, Tammy Baldwin and Alicia Saunders, all women, all women. And that's what we're seeing up in the 8th CD. We have, with regards to the state seats, my seat, Tammy Baldwin's seat, we have more women running in the 8th CD than men. In fact, we as a group of candidates who are all working together, it's really beautiful just to try to get out into all the different regions and just places where Democrats have not been for years because of the gerrymander. We are getting out everywhere and we are creating spaces to have hard conversations. And one of the things our group has decided is that we've got a little catchphrase that mm-hmm. we are the gals, the gays, and a few good men, because I got to tell you, there are only a handful of straight white men running up here and we are here for it.
Can I be part of the team, Kristen? The gals, the gays, and a few good men. I absolutely love it. It is sometimes a little lonely here on talk radio. Not a whole bunch of women doing this gig either. Let me just ask you the question, the issue of the hour, as we grapple as Democrats with the upcoming DNC. Do you think Joe Biden should stay on the ticket?
Man, that is the question that everybody is asking right now. You know, I watched the debate. I watched it with the Brown County Dems. I watched it at times holding my breath and trying to will more energy into President Biden. But here's what I saw. And Bernie Sanders actually was in the area earlier that day. He said, tonight we will have a debate and it will be entertainment. But when it's all over, the facts will be the facts. Yeah. And that's really true. This was all theater. And we are basing so much of our conversation right now on the theater of that debate. But let's just take that away and look at the content. Yeah. Joe Biden, once he hit his stride, was demonstrating the successes of his administration over and over and over again. And Donald Trump was saying lie after lie after lie and not answering questions. Yeah. And that is really the stuff that matters here. Yeah. So it is not for me to say whether whether President Biden should step down or not. I know there are a lot of conversations happening about that right now, and I'm really actually very disappointed with how the New York Times is handling this.
It's
disgusting. The editorial that they wrote requesting that he step down, but they didn't write an editorial when Donald Trump was convicted of 34 felonies. Like, what?
Frankly, Kristen, I think the New York Times has deeply lost its way. The Washington Post seems to be in an editorial crisis as well. There is a crisis within media, and I'm sick of the fact that we have, or that there's this presumption that we have to treat these things as if they're equal. They're not. Joe Biden is old. So is Donald Trump. One is a lying blah, blah, blah. And the other one is a good man who's trying to do the best for the country and for the middle class, for you and for me and for our families. Those are the facts. The other one is literally trying to trade policy for billion-dollar donations from big oil. That's the last kind of person we need. The one tried to extort a foreign power to dig up dirt on his political rival. That's not the man that we need. It's I'm so done with the nonsense. And to your point exactly, Kristen, I said after the debate that we need to understand the difference between content and delivery. I said moments ago on this show, read the transcript of the debate. Turn off the noise, turn off the sound bites, turn off the video, and there will only be one obvious winner from the transcript of the debate, and that is Joe Biden. We're going to have to take care of a little business. I want to let some of the folks on the phone lines ask you some questions if you're game for that, Dr. Lyerly.
Oh, yes.
75 Civic. If you got a question or a comment that you want to hear Kristen and I talk about, give us a call or shoot us a text. 855-75 Civic. I'll just share this. Matt from Richland Center says this: Dr. Lyerly, if you were in my district, I'd vote for you in 2 seconds. One of my absolute favorite guests on Civic Media. So happy to hear you and Maggie together and Brian too. Thanks so much, Matt. Keep listening, keep texting. If you'd like to join our conversation, we'll be back in just a couple of brief moments. Here with my very special guest this half hour, candidate for the 8th Congressional District, Dr. Kristen Lyerly.
You don't talk about it. Parties. You want me on that wall. You need me on that wall.
And every one of us to make probably what will be the most important decision of our lifetimes for our democracy, for our neighbors, our families, and our friends this November. I'm really happy to have one of the candidates that will be on the ballot if you are in the 8th Congressional District this November, Dr. Kristen Lyerly. Welcome back, Kristen. Let's go to the phones. I'd love to hear what other people are saying. Mr. Wisco Paul, say hi to Dr. Lyerly. Do you have a question or comment this afternoon? Paul, are you there? Let's go to Cam from Appleton. Say hello to Dr. Lyerly.
I don't know.
I don't know what's going on.
I don't know. I'm going to check it again.
Brian's going to check it out if you're there. Hang on. We're going to try to get you on the air. I'll go back to you, Dr. Lyerly. One of the things that I don't think has gotten nearly enough emphasis as we talk about what might be on the ballot and Joe Biden remaining on the ballot this November is this simple fact. In three critical swing states, it is not clear that there is a legal pathway to have a candidate other than Joe Biden on the presidential ticket. To me, that is dispositive of this question, don't you think? And Wisconsin, by the way, is one of them. This is a report from Newsweek just yesterday. Either yesterday or on Monday, I believe saying that arguments are being made that only death can remove a candidate's name from the Wisconsin presidential ballot. There are significant hurdles both in the states of Wisconsin and Georgia as well. Isn't that it? Like, stop having the argument if those are the laws, and if we try to do something other than that, we'll end up mired in litigation for months and months. It will inject more uncertainty into a race. It will likely turn voters off. And again, there'll be fuel added to the fire of all of this election nonsense that keeps coming from the far right. To me, that is the issue that simply resolves the matter definitively. What are your thoughts on that?
Hey, let's just stand behind the person who we have already selected. Hey, I look at the Republicans and how even Republicans who do not identify with mega extremism and do not appreciate Donald Trump still stand behind Donald Trump. And I do not understand it whatsoever. And I believe that they know what's at stake, but for whatever reason, that he is the person from their party and they are loyal. And the Democrats are doing exactly the opposite. They're splintering, they're having conversations, they're trying to figure out a different pathway. And ultimately, I think if we go down this road too far, it is going to be incredibly difficult to win this election. So if there ever was a time for us to band together and make the best of it, and like I said earlier, get out there and vote, talk to other friends who you know are like-minded, make sure they get out and vote, have these hard conversations. It's okay to have a hard conversation and not to agree with everybody all the time. That's normal. So you can have these hard conversations, talk about what's happening, but please do not disengage, because it is literally the future of our democracy that's at stake here.
Yeah, couldn't have said it any better myself. CJ, do you have a respectful question for Dr. Lyerly?
Yes, Dr. Wiley, and thank you, Maggie, for taking my call. I have tried to get through a number of times to you. I feel like it's sometimes misrepresented what the Supreme Court did with the Dobbs decision and Roe versus Wade. And I guess I'd ask you, is there any restrictions? Because President Trump, and you misrepresent this all the time, believes in that it should have went back to the states, but his belief is there should be limitations for rape, incest, the health of the mother and the baby if it's before a certain number, maybe not the baby, before a certain date. He believes 13 to 15 weeks should be, because I'm pro-life, I've evolved on this, I've really struggled with it, but I realize that I'm not a woman, I'm not the one carrying a baby that maybe has different circumstances. But by 3 months, you know if you're pregnant. So I guess I get frustrated hearing how it's represented. That
what do you think is misrepresented, CJ?
That we're taking away a woman's right to choose, period. No, that's not what that's not what the Supreme Court did.
Dr. Lyerly, what's your response to CJ and folks that may hold that same viewpoint?
I think that this is such a hard topic and such an emotional topic. And, you know, CJ, I understand where you're coming from. And to hear you, I think what I hear you saying is that you'd like to see limits. But where do you put those limits? And how do you put those healthcare decisions with limits in the hands of politicians instead of the people who are actually dealing with these circumstances? And I'll give you an example. And I take care of patients who have all different ideologies, all different religious faiths, and it's not my job as a physician to tell them what to do. It's to hear them, to help them determine what their circumstances are, and to give them options that work within their own lives. So we routinely, as OBGYN docs, do an ultrasound right around 20 weeks, because that's when we can see all of the structures of the fetus that are developing. And it's not unusual to, at that point, find out that something hasn't developed normally. And sometimes that means that this fetus will not survive to term. And that's a really, really hard situation, because a lot of these parents want this pregnancy. It's desired. So their hearts are broken. This is a baby that they wanted, and they won't be able to raise. And if we put limits on the ability to get an abortion at this point in the pregnancy, then we're taking options away from them. We may be taking their ability to have a baby in the future away. We're adding more barriers because we're having to send them here in Wisconsin. We'll have to send them to Illinois or Minnesota to get the care that they need in a clinic instead of at home in a hospital with their families and their friends and their faith leaders around them. We're making it much, much harder for them at that moment and in the future. My goal, you said you were pro-life. I too consider myself pro-life. I want my patients to live their best lives now and into the future. I want to help them raise healthy children and have wonderful, healthy families. But these decisions are complicated, and that's why they can't be legislated.
I've said very similar things about this very issue, Dr. Lyerly, that when you probe the legislation that attempts to ban abortion and create exceptions, that once you get into the situations, the legislation never fits. It never works correctly. And what you end up doing is actually harming life, hurting patients, hurting families. It has the exact opposite of the intended value that I think many of us share. My special guest this half hour, thank you so much for your time. Dr. Kristen Lyerly, candidate for the 8th Congressional District here in the state of Wisconsin. When we come back, we're going to take more of your calls. We're going to take from the text lines. We'll continue this discussion about whether or not Joe Biden should remain on the ticket. And I will give you my bottom line. 855-75-CIVIC, 855-752-4842. I'm Maggie Dawn. You're listening to the Civic Media Radio Network. Welcome back, Wisconsin. I'm Maggie Dawn. You're listening to the Civic Media Radio Network. You want to speak your onions? We got a half an hour left before we kick in to the holiday weekend. And don't forget, happy July 4th to each and every one of you. We're going to be celebrating here on Civic Media because my colleague Earl Ingram has interviewed the President of the United States, Joe Biden. You can find that interview tomorrow morning at 9 a.m. You will hear the interview. I also want to point out that Mr. Ingram, I've just heard, is going to be interviewed potentially live this evening on CNN between 6 and 7 p.m. with Wolf Blitzer. Please do check that out. Again, my kudos and thanks to Earl Ingram for his body of work and his great work in this election cycle. Also, I have to thank Dr. Kristen Lyerly, my guest last half hour. I want to go back to you, CJ, and before I let you ask a follow-up question or respond to Dr. Lyerly, I wanted to say to you personally with you on the air, CJ, I lost my temper on Monday with you, and I called you a name, and I should never, ever do that. I'm really sorry, CJ, and I appreciate you calling me back.
Well, actually, Maggie, I think you're a pretty classy lady. I know I test you and I test a lot of the hosts, and you're willing to take my call some of the times. I get it. But yeah, thank you for that. It's okay. I've been called a lot of names.
Me too, anyway, friend. We've got that in common. Dr. We've been called lots of names. What was your follow-up for Dr. Lyerly? She's not here right now, but I wanted to let you say what you wanted to say.
Well, she never answered the question. She does not, like the Senate and Chuck Schumer, brought to the floor a vote on women's rights to have an abortion with absolutely no restrictions. The Democrats passed that hands down. They won't answer the question, and it's really sad.
What's the question, actually, CJ?
She brought up a particular, because she brought up a particular incident or scenario that the baby, there was something wrong with the baby. These are government paid, taxpayer paid abortions.
So that's, I'm sorry, I got to jump in, CJ. That's actually not true. I know it's a common misnomer. There are a few circumstances where a taxpayer dollar may fund an abortion. But here's my opinion, and I'm just going to jump in and say this. One of the reasons that you may see legislation that comes from Democrats that tries to enshrine a woman's right to choose and be treated equally under the law as it pertains to our autonomy over our own bodies is this. That it is extremely hard to legislate this particular healthcare, this particular procedure, with such specificity that it addresses all potential factual scenarios. That whenever you create a limit for this particular health procedure, there are always things that frankly merit exceptions. The reason that Dr. Lyerly was talking about one of her patients' experiences is that those experiences actually define the implications of the law. To be perfectly blunt with you, if a mass of cells can't exist outside of my uterus, it's not a baby. That is my opinion. And it is very problematic to me that before Donald Trump stacked the Supreme Court, I had the right to elect to have an abortion to remove those cells from my body. I don't have that right today. And that is the first time in modern American history where a right to privacy, a right to make choices that impact myself, right, has been removed. And I think that's fundamentally the problem. I also think fundamentally, every time you've seen a state try to legislate this, bad, terribly bad, anti-life things end up happening. And that's the problem. It does matter how the law works in operation. It does matter when you have situations like the one that Dr. Lyerly described. I'm going to leave it there. And move on, because I want everybody to get their crack at the question of the day, which is, should Joe Biden remain on the ticket? I alluded to what my viewpoint is before with Dr. Lyerly, and that's simply, if it is going to create a legal crisis and volumes of litigation for states Wisconsin, Georgia, and Nevada to try to have a candidate other than Joe Biden on the ballot, that resolves the question definitively in my mind. The Heritage Foundation gave comment to Newsweek related to that issue, and they basically said, we're prepared to throw this into the courts. We know how that will end ultimately before this Supreme Court. I mean, is it really all that hard to understand that at the end of the day, the court that just declared that Donald Trump can do and commit whatever crimes he wants all the way up to the outer perimeter of his official duties and enjoy complete immunity like that of kings, that this Supreme Court would never come down on the side of Joe Biden when it comes, or excuse me, the side of the Democratic Party, if we were trying to replace Joe Biden with a candidate on the Democratic ticket for president in the states of Wisconsin, Nevada, and Georgia. To me, that resolves the question. Can we move on now unless someone knows some sort of legal clear rule in any of these three states that states otherwise? And to the best of my knowledge, and I spent some time today trying to look it up, it doesn't exist. So here's what else. The more time we spend navel gazing as Democrats and people that care about small d democracy, the more fuel we're adding to the fire. We need to move on. The law is uncertain at best in the states of Wisconsin, Nevada, and Georgia. And that, my friends, answers the question. Joe Biden will be the Democratic nominee for the president of the United States. And we've, frankly, got to keep telling the truth about all of the things that Joe Biden has accomplished in his presidency. 855-75-CIVIC, 855-752-4842. I also want to point out this. Joe Biden has never been a particularly eloquent speaker. He has, everybody knows he's had a stutter. But what you do know when you're listening to Joe Biden is that he's actually telling you the truth, because he's not a slick sort of verbal rhetorician. He's not a salesman. You know that what Joe Biden is saying to you is the truth. He doesn't have, frankly, the sort of verbal dexterity to shade things and to color and feed you a line of baloney. That's not Joe. He uses words like malarkey, for crying out loud, because that's who he is. He tells you exactly as it is. The man is not a liar. He is a good human being who's trying to do the best for middle-class Americans like you and I, and that needs to matter. Donald Trump wants to give billionaires and corporations larger tax breaks. He wants to tax the middle class an additional 10% in tariffs which are taxes. That's going to hit your pocketbook and mine. You think inflation is bad now? It actually isn't. But if you think it is bad now, guess what happens with an additional 10% tariff on imports? Everything will cost more and we will spiral into a recession. The fact that that idea came out of Donald Trump's mouth with any degree of seriousness disqualifies him as a candidate. The man knows zip, not a zero zilch about economic policy. And if that's your number one concern, it's a vote for Joe Biden. It's simply that clear. We're going to go to the phones. And then I've got to get in day 22 of Joe Biden's top 100. Carmela from Milwaukee, you're on the air. What do you have to say?
I have to say, I agree with everything that you said. And my mantra is being a good human matters. And I think Joe Biden is that person. But again, that is his decision. It sounds like there's pressure on him to concede. But there were a few legal questions. I mean, just that I have. You had brought up about like the states and being on the ballot and putting somebody else on. But also, isn't there someone brought up this morning about the delegates? That are they already assigned to Joe Biden? And then also the campaign finance, that it could only go to Vice President Kamala Harris. And I wasn't sure if that was accurate or not, but it wouldn't it cause a huge uproar? I mean, yeah, other people are talking about Governor Newsom or Governor Whitmore, but they would have to pretty much start from scratch. Is that?
Yeah, Carmela, you've got your finger on a couple of things. The third leg of the stool to me that definitively closes the door on anyone on the Democratic ticket but for Joe Biden and Kamala Harris as president and vice president is the campaign finance concerns. Campaign finance laws are extremely complex. There are state laws, there are federal laws. But as a general matter, if you raise money for the campaign or the committee for candidate Joe Dokes, you can't wave a magic wand and then be like, oh, well, Joe Dokes isn't in it anymore, so we'll just move that money over to Jane Doe's candidacy. It doesn't work that way. So in addition to the legal restrictions about changing the ballot, that is a massive, massive obstacle that I think, frankly, again, takes this issue off the table. Finally, Carmela, you brought up the issue of the delegates at the Democratic National Convention and how they are allocated. People voted for Joe Biden as the Democratic Party's candidate. If we want to say that we believe in elections, that votes matter, we need to stand by those votes. But as a technical point, the Democratic National Convention and the Democratic National Committee, as well as the RNC, are both private organizations, and they basically set their own rules. Those rules are rules of the DNC's and RNC's own invention. Now, in the past, it was the case that with the Democratic National Committee, there was what was called superdelegates that basically could vote for whomever they wanted to, which could at times sort of potentially open up conventions for moving in the direction of a candidate that had not won the majority of just your regular old delegates through the primary process. The rules for the Democratic National Committee were changed in 2016. Superdelegates have much, much less discretion now. And in fact, Carmela, what you're pointing to is very true. The regular delegates in the DNC are committed. They are committed by the primary votes in the states that went for Joe Biden. It would be a violation of the Democratic National Committee's own convention rules for those delegates to cast votes for anyone but Joe Biden. However, return to point one, the Democratic National Committee is a private organization. They could convene the convention and change their own nominating rules to permit effectively an open nomination contest at the Democratic National Committee in a convention in August in Chicago. So that's the complexities there. Again, I think you look at the legalities about changing who would be on the ballot in states like Wisconsin, Nevada, and Georgia, it takes anybody but Joe Biden as an option off the table. You couple that with the campaign finance restrictions, and it takes anybody but Joe Biden off the table. We need to move on. He's going to be the nominee, and it's high time we return to the facts of the matter. And one of them is this. Again, it's day 22 of Joe Biden's top 100. I'm going to be talking about his commitment to the United States as the leader of the free world. I'm going to take a couple of more calls, and then I got to take care of that business. Karina from Milwaukee, what do you have to say this afternoon?
Oh, hi, man. You know what? You're absolutely right. I'm 100% with you. Take a transcript and read it. Because if you can just take a visual, which is very a lower mental function, read and see, does Biden said anything funny, inappropriate, inadequate, not correct in the name or any other way? No, he was talking slow and quietly, because first of all, he always does. I yes. never seen a man speak fast. First and second, and Russia would say if somebody speaks fast, they're probably lying.
Thanks so much, Karina. Always great to see you on my caller list. Have a great July 4th. I appreciate you listening and calling. And again, a texter reminding me of the pronunciation of our vice president's name. I always do try to get it right. It's Kamala Harris. I hope I'm saying that correctly, like a comma, the punctuation mark, Kamala Harris. But, you know, when we're arguing about things on the radio, often sometimes our mouths get ahead of our brains and we get things wrong. I appreciate Annie Yu from Watertown reminding me to get my pronunciations correct. We're going to take some final thoughts from each and every one of you. I'll give you my Joe Biden day 22 on the United States role as the leader of the free world in international and foreign policy. When we come back after these brief messages here on the Civic Media Radio Network, 855-75-CIVIC, 855-752-4842. And I'll have a little bit of good news before we roll into the July 4th meeting.
Another turning point, a fork stuck in the road. Time grabs you by the wrist, directs you where to go. So make the best of this test and don't ask why. It's not a question but a lesson learned in time. It's something unpredictable, but in the end is right. I hope you had the time of your life.
And I hope you have the time of your life over this July 4th weekend. I'm Maggie Dawn. He's Brian Kelly. You're listening to the Civic Media Radio Network. My most patient caller, Mark from Prairie Sac, what do you have to say this afternoon?
Yeah, thank you very much. And Biden should stay in. And my plans this year for election time is when the Republicans start holding their meetings in my district here for both Senate, state Senate and assembly seat, I'm going to actually go there to their meeting and challenge them if they actually know the definition of the word shall when it comes to the Constitution. Because unless they can condemn what the Supreme Court just did, and also can condemn what happened on January 6th because of the violation of Section 14.2 and 14.3 of the U.S. Constitution, they have no business being in office, period.
Couldn't agree with you more, Mark. What happened on January 6th was an abomination and an affront to our democracy and every American value that our country was founded upon and that we purportedly all hold dear. I mean, anybody else sick of Republicans running around with lapel pins of American flags and patting themselves on the back for their patriotism? Where was your patriotism on January 6th? Where is it now? You have a felon running for president. I mean, come on.
There is no greater grouping of flags or flag waving, flaggity, flag stuff than that group. I don't get it. In fact, if they love the flag so much, maybe they should know the flag code, which I learned when I was a Boy Scout, mostly which don't wear the flag as clothing and or throw it. And I don't know. Whatever.
Yeah. Don't use it as a symbol to bang other people over the head with, right? Treat it with reverence and respect.
Saw a Confederate flag on a truck in my neighborhood just the other day. All I have to say is, what a loser. That's a losing flag. That is an enemy flag, and they lost.
Well, and how about this as a barometer? Do you think there are more or less Confederate flags flying around this country today than before Donald Trump announced he wanted to be president in 2016? The answer to that is more. Now, this is not supposed to be a trick question either. Do you think it's a good thing that there are more Confederate flags flying around this country today because Donald Trump decided he wanted to be president? That's a bad thing. That's not a trick question. Racism, bad. We should all be able to get that one pretty straight. Liz from Saukville saying, I'm still behind Biden. If Republicans can rally around a convicted felon found liable for rape, Democrats better rally around Biden for one bad night. I actually rewatched it, and President Biden did perform better later in the debate. Trump's lies are still there, and they ain't going anywhere. This texter pointing out that while the Border Patrol may not have endorsed Joe Biden, by the way, different federal agencies don't endorse federal candidates. That's not actually a thing. The Border Patrol did support passage of the border bill, the bipartisan border bill that was coming out of the Senate that Donald Trump killed. Don't let him tell you that he cares about the border or immigration or any of that. If he did, he would have supported the immigration bill, the bipartisan immigration bill, the most frankly, draconian immigration bill that we've seen that Democrats would have agreed to and that Joe Biden said he would sign, and Trump killed it. Fact. All right. Here's what Joe Biden put in his fiscal year 2025 budget. $30 billion. $30 billion to help fund infrastructure across the globe. This is called the Partnership for Global Infrastructure and Investment. Why is that important? Infrastructure, meaningful, lasting infrastructure around the globe help promotes free, safe, and secure trade corridors. You know what's going to help the middle class and help keep inflation down, help keep driving it down going forward? Open trade corridors, safe and secure global infrastructure so that we can get the goods and the things that we want to buy. If the trading corridors are blocked, if they are not secure, if they are interrupted, which is what we saw during COVID and the big, huge barge that ended up blocking one of the major shipping channels in the world, that drives consumer prices through the roof. That fact alone, which outstripped any investment made in global infrastructure by a factor of some 10 or so that Donald Trump ever made, is fact enough to vote for Joe Biden. But there's more, of course. Joe Biden's 2025 budget contains $1.5 billion in allocations to combat Russian aggression in Eastern Europe. A lot of this goes to Ukraine. It's about $482 million. But $300 million of it goes to procuring American equipment across the Eastern European region. That is basically $300 billion getting injected into the American economy so that Eastern European allies can purchase, again, American equipment to help defend against Russian aggression. It is a non-starter that anyone would vote for Donald Trump that says that they care about the security or the borders of the United States. The real and present danger is in Vladimir Putin, Kim Jong-un, Iran, and the rest of the axis of evil. And there is only one of these two candidates that has consistently stood in opposition to those forces. And it's not Donald Trump. It's Joseph R. Biden. Finally, today I'll say this. Joe Biden included $400 million for the Countering PRC Influence Fund. What's the PRC? It's the People's Republic of China. That matters. The Chinese are trying to manipulate information and manipulate the narrative, and Joe Biden is saying enough. Now, this $400 million would be aimed through a variety of means at advancing the economic and power fight that the U.S. has with China by investing in part in our infrastructure and businesses to combat Chinese disinformation and to put our businesses on an equal or better than competitive footing with Chinese businesses. He has also requested $241 million in military assistance to allies and trade partners in the Indo-Pacific to send a message to China. That matters. Meanwhile, back at the ranch, Donald Trump is talking about the insanity of a 10% tariff, which simply will not work ever. It's a stupid idea. Here's my good news for the afternoon to send you all off into a very happy 4th of July weekend. The good news this week was that Rudy Giuliani was permanently disbarred in the state of New York. So that is my gift to you. No more attorney Rudy Giuliani in the state of New York. Have a beautiful, safe, and happy 4th of July weekend. The fight continues. I'll stand up for you. I hope you stand up for me. But always remember, it's better when we stand together. Devil's Advocates are next.
Let's have trial by combat.